Welcome to the Gut Church Podcast. My name is Kennedy Shear, and thank you so much for joining us. Today, we have a great word for you. If this ministry has changed your life, will you let us know? Send us an email to story@gutschurch.com.
But I'm glad that you're here tonight. It really is. It's a big deal that people show up to church on a Wednesday night, especially when it is raining like this. I believe God's got a word, and I hope I can communicate it clearly to you tonight. First, I want to thank Pastor Bill and Pastor Sandy, as anybody should that takes this stage, for giving their lives to this and giving us a space. And I know for me personally, God has used this church as a tool. He used the gifting and the leadership style of Pastor Bill to take a kid that grew up as a PK, that got to travel the world, that didn't want to have anything to do with the church after college. I was flipping the church off. I didn't want to have anything to do with it. And because of the flavor and the unique style of this, my buddy Chris, others, the Swags, that developed something called Sub 30, gave me the right environment and the right culture to get my life back on track with God, discover who I was in Him, and live the purpose that God has for us. And so can we give Pastor Bill and Pastor Sandy a hand? I know that's the story of a lot of people, but I think we've been here 18, 19, forget years now, and that is a defining moment of my life, and this place has got a special place in my heart, so it's an honor to talk to you all, my family. It's also nerve-wracking, but I love it, and I appreciate the honor to do it. I get the opportunity to lead a ministry that travels all around the world. We empower the local church in nations that are hostile to the gospel, so we work in countries like Iraq, Iran, China, Myanmar, and Cuba. Chris and I just got back from Turkey a couple weeks ago. We flew about 45 pastors out from Iran. We smuggle Bibles into that country, and I tell you what, God's doing something amazing there. They just gushed about the people that are open to the gospel message right now. They don't want to have anything to do with the Islamic regime. It has turned them off to radical Islam, to Islam in general, and so Iran is literally a harvest field right now, and we got to sit with those people face-to-face and hear their stories, and they're getting after it, so fun doing that. I met my wife, Beth, here. If we give her a hand right here. We were GYC leaders for a number of years, and we met right over there in the Old North Sanctuary after a Sub 30 service, and then I broke her ankle, and I had to pay for all the hospital bills, and so we hung out a lot, and then we ended up getting married. So there's a story there. So I turned 40 in a couple of months, and it kind of has bothered me. There's a long, gushy story. My biological father died 3 months before his 40th birthday, which would be this month for me, and so I think about that sometimes, and that's a little heavy start, isn't it? And then, but we're not going to talk about that. But I am thinking about 40, and that since you're down here, Molly's young. She's a friend of ours. Molly's young. She's in her 30s. And then you got Dubs that turned 40 like a decade ago. And so we're approaching 40. Megan just turned 40. People, and I know a lot of people in the room already turned 40. But it's like 40, man. I still feel like I'm 25. And that's why I wore this cool jacket to make me look like I'm 25. And so, but I just thinking about a lot of things. And in all seriousness, I'm not who I thought I was going to be yet. I'm not who that I know God's called me to be. I know there's something significant that He's doing in me. There's things that are going on in my life that I know He's working in me. I know there's something more, and I believe that's the case for all of us. And I believe that tonight there's a word that I hope is going to challenge you, that's going to spur you, that's going to move you from a place of complacency to a place of pursuing God in a new way, in a passionate way. And I believe this is also a word for our church, just where we are. We're celebrating 27 years. A whole generation of people and of leadership have been raised in this church now. And so I think we're in a great spot, a unique spot, and an important spot. I was supposed to preach a couple weeks ago, and I know we were talking about discipleship back then, so I prepared these notes for that. So one of the points I want to make is, as disciples of Jesus, change is mandatory. And so we're going to talk about change tonight. And I'm not talking about eating healthy. I'm not going to talk about your finances. I want to talk about the core of who you are, the core of who we are, behaviors. And even though we might be followers of Jesus for a number of years, we are on an ongoing, progressive plan of change in our lives. If you are pursuing Jesus, we should constantly be in a place of change. When we are born again, that spiritual rebirth is immediate, but the transformation process of who we are is a progression throughout life. It's not immediate, it's ongoing. I want to turn, if you have your Bibles or a phone, open it up. It's going to be on the screen because it's 2019. That's how we do it. But 2 Corinthians 3:18. I'm going to read out of the Amplified. And it hit me as I was searching for verses. I realized that, and this doesn't, I guess, look good on me, but I feel like wordy people like the amplified version. And then Nikki, who was helping me lay this out, she goes, well, a lot of ladies like the amplified version. I was like, that's my point. But this is a great version to dive into what God says here. And he says, and we all with unveiled face, continually seeing as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are progressively being transformed into his image from one degree of glory to even more. Glory which comes from the Lord who is the Spirit. When Moses originally went to the mountaintop, the Bible says that his face, his skin literally shone so much that when he went to deliver the message to the Israelites, he had to wear a veil over his face. We don't have that now. We look into the Word of God. It's like a mirror. And we get out of that, it shines on us, and we're able to draw out of God's word and hold on to that. But the very thing that we draw on then, now we reflect back out. So a mirror is something that you look into, but it's also something that reflects an image. And this is who you are. This is who we are. But Paul says here to the church of Corinthians that it is progressively, and we go from glory to glory. So a church is 27 years old. People have been following the Lord for 35 and 40 years in this room, 20 years in this room. God is not done with you yet. There is something more that he wants to do in you. There's something more he wants to do through Guts Church. But we have to press into that. We have to hear God's voice. We got to discover what he's doing in us. There's so much more that he wants to do. There's much more that he wants to accomplish in and through you. Discipleship changes who you are. This life that we live is more about who we are becoming, more so than what it is that we do. And there's a couple weeks ago, I can't remember his name, pastor guy from Australia, hilarious. Yeah, he came in here and he started acting like he's praying in tongues, said, should have bought a Kia but bought a Honda, or should have bought a Honda but I get, that got me. Joel and I were talking about it afterwards. But so he started talking about the life of Peter, and I'm getting ready to take you through a quick outline of the life of Peter, and I was like, oh no, he's stealing my message. That'll terrify somebody who's about to speak a message and somebody steals it right before you're about to go. But he didn't. But we're going to review the life of Peter because there's a couple of angles that I want to look at this. We can look at this through the perspective of Peter himself. We're going to look at this through the perspective of Jesus as a human, and we're going to look at this as perspective as Jesus as Lord. Those are the three points that we're going to make today. But Peter, you guys are very familiar with the story, so we're going to move very quickly. We got an outline on the screen, should be coming up right about now. But Peter was, Jesus calls him to follow him, okay? He leaves everything, we know this. Peter was in his inner circle. John and Peter rolled with Jesus. He was a part of his inner circle. They were there when the transfiguration occurred. Okay, Peter literally heard God on the mountain say, this is my son in whom I'm well pleased. Peter heard this. Okay, that's an important point for later on in the life of Peter. Peter was a pillar, and I want to emphasize a pillar in the church. Okay, Paul recognizes it in Galatians that Peter was a pillar. He was an important part of the church. He wasn't what the church was built on. We'll talk about that in a minute. Peter walked on water. Okay, he's got an amazing highlight reel rolling out here so far. Peter is the one that answered the big question of Jesus. When Jesus said, Peter, who do they say that I am? Some think a prophet. Who do you say that I am? God gives him the revelation from heaven that Jesus is the Christ. He is the Son of God. He's the first one to get that revelation. Who is this guy? Peter's got an amazing story. Okay? Jesus recognizes the revelation that God gives him and says, Peter, I'm going to use you to build my church. And we know later in Acts that God uses Peter to lead 3,000 people to the Lord on the day of Pentecost. But what's interesting is Peter's awesome in one moment and not in the next. A verse or two later, because of this revelation, he gets this little bit of pride. He gets some swag in his steps, swag. And he rebukes Jesus. He pulls him away, says, no, you're not going to have to suffer. And Jesus says, get behind me, Satan. Can you imagine that? So he goes from being awesome to not being awesome. Does anybody ever feel like that as a follower of Jesus? Like, man, I'm doing great. Oh, I'm not doing so great. I just walked on water, but now I'm getting rebuked. This is what we go through in this progressive lifestyle of following Jesus. Peter's a great example, especially for guys like me. Peter gets rebuked. Jesus tells him that you all are going to be made to stumble. Peter says, I'm not going to be made to stumble. Arrogance. Jesus says, oh yeah, you're going to deny me three times. I will not deny you. He's just arguing with Jesus. Peter cuts off the guy's ear. That's like going out to lunch with Pastor Bill and somebody picking a fight with him and Joel punching that guy in the face. Like, that's what would be, and maybe that's happened. But that would be like, that's like a modern day example of this guy Peter. So here he is, gets this revelation of who Jesus is, this revelation of this incredible message of love, but yet he whacks a guy's ear off for the sake of Jesus. Just very prideful, presumptuous, thinking that he's knowing what's doing. He knows how to do the right thing. He's crazy. In Matthew chapter 26, Jesus, so that after he cuts the guy's ear off, we know the story that they take Jesus away. And Peter starts hearing how they're treating Jesus. And the Bible says that he follows him at a distance. So here's a man that was standing on the mountain and literally heard out of the mouth of God, "This is my son who I'm well pleased." But when trouble came, he backed away and he began following at a distance. I wonder how many people sometimes we feel like we let God down, and instead of running and pursuing after him, we pull back and we begin to follow God at a distance. These are the ebb and flows of a life of discipleship. Peter goes on and he denies, fulfills the prophetic word of Jesus. He denies Jesus three times, Matthew 26. Jesus is raised from the dead. He comes back and reveals himself to his disciples. You guys remember Doubting Thomas was there for the first time. He comes back a second time. He actually comes back a third time, and we're gonna go there a little bit later tonight. But Peter says, "I'm just going to go back to fishing." He's there. He sees Jesus. He sees the wounds. He was there when Doubting Thomas had to stick his finger in his side. So here he is going, he's witnessed this man who said he's going to die and come back to life. He's witnessed it. But yet, this picture that we have of Peter in this moment is kind of an oppressed, a depressed, a doubt, a doubtful Peter. I'm just going to go back to fishing. And goes back to his ordinary life. I'm going to stop there for a minute in that story and make a couple of points from what we just talked about. One is, don't stop in the process or you're going to lose the progress that you have. Don't stop at a point where it's a breaking point in your life. Allow God to continue to do the work. The point number one is, make room for yourself. We got to make room for what God wants to do in our lives. We got to make room for what God wants to do right here at Guts Church in 2019 going into 2020. Peter didn't let shame or guilt or his missteps get in the way from him continuing to follow Jesus. It's not going to sneak up on you. I already mentioned it. God uses him in a significant way in the book of Acts. 3,000 people. Paul calls him a pillar in the church later in the New Testament in Galatians. Peter didn't allow all the mistakes that he made to get in the way. He made room for himself to work out this deal, to work out the changes that God was doing in him to continue to follow Jesus. Peter could have thought, everyone knew that I denied him. Jesus is going to rub it in my face. The people around me, the other disciples, are going to bag on me. They're going to think I'm a hypocrite. They're going to think that I'm fake if I keep following Jesus. They're going to think I'm fake if I start acting different. They're going to think I'm fake if I start talking different because of what I did. They're going to call me a hypocrite. That's a question I want to pose to you tonight. Are you letting guilt, shame, or the fear of what other people might think holding you back from the changes that you know you need to make? And I tell you what, this goes for people on the front row to the back row. And I almost want to preach more to the front row. And I know that sounds cliche, but really what I'm talking about is people who have been following Jesus for a long time, people who might be on staff at this church, and I'm not pinpointing anybody because I'm preaching this message to myself. But a lot of times we get following Jesus for a while, and we become complacent, and we pick up patterns and habits, and we think that we're mature in the Lord, and God's really saying, I'm not done with you yet. I want to chisel more out of you. I want to do something more in you. And we think we've arrived. We start lopping the ear off of people because we've arrived. We start telling Jesus how we're going to do things because we think we've arrived. And Jesus is saying, I'm not done with you yet. Do you understand there's a revival I want to let loose in your heart because there's a revival that I want to let loose through you? So what are you letting hold you back? Is it the fear of being labeled a hypocrite? The Bible says the righteous will fall 7 times and they will get back up. if your heart is, man, God, I'm going after you, I tell you what, if I know you and you're going to make a change, and you're like, man, he knows the dirt, I don't care about the dirt because I need you not to care about my dirt. We need to be encouraging one another to become everything that God's called us to be, no matter where you are in the spectrum. I wish Scott Houston was in the room tonight because he was my premeditated plan to say he's probably the most holy person in the room, but he's not, so I'm going to pick Beth, my wife. That's a good call. But there's still something more that he wants to do in her. It doesn't matter where we fall. We are never done. He wants to take us from glory to glory. What behaviors do you need to change? Philippians chapter 2, verse 13. For God is working in you, giving you the desire and the power to do what pleases him. This is our memory verse for our kids this, or maybe last month. We just flipped months. But this one I make my kids commit to memory. God is working in you, giving you the desire. There's going to be a desire in you. When you allow God to work in you, he's not going to force you. The Holy Spirit's a gentleman. But when you allow him to work in you to do something new there, all of a sudden your desires are going to start to change. There's a hunger that's going to start to develop to press into what God has for you. And then there's going to come a power that's going to follow that. The power to do what pleases him. What you do on the outside will only grow because of how you are growing on the inside. What you do on the outside grows because of who you are becoming on the inside. Your internal growth of who you are becoming on the inside is what brings to life on the outside. If there's something that you're desiring, or there's something that God has shown you in your heart out here that you're wanting to experience in life and you're not there yet, I want to challenge you tonight to turn your attention to the inside. Because God can't get done on the outside of what he wants to do with you until he can get done on the inside what he wants to do with you, because what goes on the outside stems from what goes on the inside. Does that make sense? We got to make room for ourselves to change. You have a liberty to do that. God wants to work in you. Even if the people around you criticize, let it go. Take it. It can be awkward. Those moments of awkwardness, those moments that feel like it's turbulent, man, it's worth it. I think it was the great prophet, scholar, pastor Rocky Balboa said, no pain, no gain. Rocky IV, I know he's doing crunches at that time, and it's like, no pain, no gain. No pain, no gain, Rock. It wasn't Rocky. It was his trainer. It was the bald guy. That has nothing to do with what I'm talking about. Number one, make room for yourselves. Number two, we got to make room for others. Peter made room for himself. He didn't allow his mistakes to get in the way from continuing to pursue God. Jesus didn't allow Peter's mistakes to get in the way of their relationship. He made room for him. He made room for him to become the person that he called him to be. When he answers the big question, if you notice in Scripture, in Matthew 16, he says, who do you say that I am? Peter gives him the revelation. He says, blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah. This is Peter's family name. For God in heaven has revealed this to you. But then he says, but I say to you, you are Peter. He changes his name. God changed the name from Abraham, from Abram to Abraham, from Sarai to Sarah. When God changes a name, there's a change of calling. There's a change of purpose. There's a change of character. There's a change of integrity. I say to you, you are Peter. And on this rock, I will build my church. The rock he's talking about is the truth that he received in Revelation, not him as a person. He is a piece of the rock. He is a co-laborer with God to build his church. He calls something out of him. He saw God work in his life, and he says, you're Peter. He starts pulling out of him the work that he sees God's doing in his life. He begins to shape him by his words. You are Peter. You're a rock. You don't think Jesus knew that he was going to deny him in that moment? It didn't matter. He gave him space to become the person that he knew God called him to be. He made room for him. You think about the story of Paul. We all know he was Saul. Got knocked off his horse. He's blind. Acts chapter 9, Ananias had to go down and pray for him. He's like, God, are you crazy? He kills people like me. Ananias shows up. He lays hands on him. The scales fall off his eyes. Barnabas gets word of this. Barnabas has to take him and introduce him to the apostles. The apostles are like, are you crazy? That guy kills people. He kills Christians. He's doing what a lot of radical Muslims do to Christians in Iran today. Why the heck are we going to let him in? They had to make room for Paul. They had to make room for Saul to become Paul. Are you glad that they made room for Saul to become Paul? Because he wrote most of what we preach about up here every week. We got to make room for each other. There's something great inside of Beth and Nina and Joel and Christy and Swags and even Tanya. I threw you in. We got to make room for us to change. There's a new work that God wants to do inside of us. It doesn't have to get stale. It's not meant to get stale. It's not meant to be old. It's not meant to be complacent. We serve a living God that has a living word. It's a living hope is what the Bible says. This last week, this has been a big deal in the news. My kids come home a week, I don't know when it was, last week or something. And Addie goes, Daddy, can we listen to the Chick-fil-A song? Anybody know how to talk about the Chick-fil-A song? I just want to see how many people are out with me real quick. Okay, we got a little explaining to do. Chick-fil-A song. I was like, I don't know about the Chick-fil-A song. I like the sandwiches and the restaurant. Don't like the fries, but I like everything else. And I think I got an amen right there. Yep, they got to change the fries. But she goes, can we listen to the Chick-fil-A song? So Beth pulls up the Chick-fil-A song, which is entitled, affectionately, Closed on Sunday. And she shows us the playlist. You guys know Kanye West, kind of in the church world right now? And she described the playlist to me. In a minute, we're going to put it up here on the screen because it's going to make my point. And so we listened to the Chick-fil-A song, Closed on Sunday. Kanye West, a rapper, historically not known for great lyrics in his songs, just released an album called Jesus is King. And it's pretty good, in my opinion. And there's a lot of opinions out there, and I'm not going to make this about Kanye, but we're about to throw his playlist on the screen, which you can go ahead and do. But I want to use this playlist to make a point. A, he wrote Jesus Walks originally back in 2004. God was working on his heart then. Gold Digger, explicit. Power, explicit. Run This Town, explicit. Whatever, blurry. Mixed personalities, all mine, explicit. Jesus is Lord. You guys see that in the screen? Not. This is the moment that I'm talking about in our lives, that at some point everybody goes from living an explicit life to living explicitly for Jesus. And we got to make room for people to work that out in their life. I'm not up here. I don't work for the church, so I'm not back in Kanye, even though my personal opinion is, golly, let's give him room. You know how many people follow him? Goodness sakes, how many people could he leave to the Lord? Billy Graham hasn't seen nothing. All mine, explicit, to Jesus as Lord. This is the moment in our lives that we have to make room for ourselves, and we got to make room for each other to work out what God wants to do in our lives. If we shut that down, we're allowing the enemy to use deception to hold each other at bay. And I wonder how many of us are walking around thinking, man, if I start, I can be naturally pessimistic, and I want to change that at 40. So I need you all to give me some room to become a little bit more positive, Beth. We got to make room for each other. It's going to be awkward. In one sentence, I might say something negative. In the next sentence, I might say something positive, and it's going to feel hypocritical. But I need to let that shape in my life to become who God has called me to become. Can we do that for myself? Thank you, if no one else. I just learned I can't preach with paper anymore. I got to have my iPad. This is like killing me in the transitions here. Let's make room for one another. I got to move. Let's don't be critical. I think a lot of time you can kind of tell when people are looking at you and they're critical. You know, like I'm probably good at that. That's maybe another thing I want to change. Like you just tell, oh, they're being critical. Like, why? Like, we should be a culture of people that's pulling, we should be Jesus pulling that gifting out of people like he did with Peter, calling it out from one another. Do you know how many giftings and callings and purposes are untapped in this room because we're not calling it out of one another? Maybe the missing thing that God wants to do in Guts Church right now is missing because we're not calling it out of one another, or we're afraid of what we're going to be labeled. Hebrews 10:24 says, let us think of ways to motivate one another in acts of love and good works. Encourage one another. Encouragement builds courage. Before I get up here tonight, Pastor Bill's like, go get them, man. Relax and have fun. I'm like, I'm not relaxed. It's raining outside. No one showed up. Y'all did. Encouragement builds courage. This is a quote that I love from Larry Crabb, and I say his name. I don't know who Larry Crabb is. A vision we give to others of who and what they could become has power when it echoes what the Spirit has already spoken into their souls. How many of you have ever felt like God has spoken something to your heart, something you're supposed to do, something, a change that maybe you're even supposed to make? Man, when somebody begins to call that out, and that resonates with what God's told you, man, a fire is lit. Let's help people become capable of what they're to become. We got to make room for each other. Number three, we got to make room for Jesus. In this story in the life of Peter, Jesus was also the Messiah. He's also all-knowing. Peter didn't get offended when Jesus rebuked him. How many people in the church world today, we get offended and then we just go and leave and go to the next place? We get offended by a friend and we just walk away. Something that I've learned in the last couple of years of my 30s is that when you choose to stay in an environment that can be offensive, or you choose to stay in a place where you might be corrected and rebuked and you don't run, you do not forfeit the miracle that God wants to do in your life. You walk away from it and you forfeit the miracle of what God can do in your life. He's here molding you and shaping you and chiseling, and it is uncomfortable. Your ability to stay in that place of uncomfort will parallel to the growth that you can experience in God. You walk away and it stunts your growth. We have to be people who give Jesus space to bring correction. And sometimes that comes in the form of other people around us, leadership. Sometimes you might be in the right and you suffer an offense. Don't allow that. If you walk away from that offense, you take that offense with you. You allow God to pour out his love in your heart and you get a fresh revelation from an experience. You get to experience a transformation of heart because you stayed in something uncomfortable and you allowed the miracle of God to take place in your heart to shape the very core of who you are. Man, now God can really use you. He can really pull something out of you. Peter left room for Jesus to work on him. Life does enough to break us down. There's probably a lot of people in the room tonight that you're going through a situation that's like, man, you couldn't be more broken. Then I say you couldn't be in a better spot. Now, I could tell you, we've been going through it. We've gone through it. Now, there's a light at the end of the tunnel. But, man, it has broken us. So this message I'm preaching, if Beth and I were the only two in the room, it'd be great. Because it really is a selfish message for us. But what I've come to learn is we're not possibly the only ones, because we're not. A lot of times, we paid so much attention to our situation and praying for God to change our situation that we don't listen to what he's wanting to teach us in the situation. We want to just get through it as fast as we can, so we try to get through it. And even if you get through it, but you don't grow through it, you missed it. You missed the opportunity. And so, yeah, when you're going through something, get through it, but grow through it. Man, listen to God. We sang it earlier. You're a child of God. Do you think, you know where my, I know where my kids are right now. They're across the street. You don't think he knows where you are right now? He knows exactly what you're going through. He knows every emotion that you're facing. He knows every situation, every detail of the circumstance. You don't think he's got something in there to shape you, to mold you? You think he says, oh, I'm just going to check out his endurance. Yeah, there's a little bit of endurance testing, but there's more to it. There's something. He wants to shape that heart into the heart of God. That's what we just read about. We're going from glory to glory. We're progressively being transformed into his image. We never arrive here on the earth. We never do. If Pastor Bill's here, I think he would be okay with me saying that. Pastor Bill hasn't arrived. We got to give him space. He's not perfect. He didn't pay me to say that. I just learned that. We got to give, this is weird, Pastor Jeremy the space to become Pastor Jeremy now. He was Dubs. Now he's got to become Pastor Jeremy. We got to give Chucky, Juan Charles, the space to become Pastor Juan. Do you guys get it? Our church is in a transition. There's new lead. God is, Pastor Bill and Sandy have picked new leaders, new pastors that are figuring it out. I know Dubs a little bit. Sorry, I was going to text you like, hey, do you mind? But I don't really care. I don't think you mind. because that's the gifting inside of him. We got to give him space to figure it out. What does God want to do in you? What is he doing? You know, I hope tonight that something I've said, and this is how the Holy Spirit works, that no matter what I say, the Holy Spirit is our teacher and he shows us things to come. And so it doesn't matter what a communicator communicates, the Holy Spirit can take words in his word and he can speak to you and teach you in very specific situations. And I'm praying to God tonight that there's something that's leaping in your heart, that there's a challenge, that you might be in a place of complacency that he's calling you out of. He might be revealing areas of your chain, of areas of who you are that he wants to change, your core behaviors. And it could be little things, like being optimistic instead of pessimistic. But leave room for God to do that. Let him show you what that is. God has to finish doing the work inside of you so he can pull out that calling that's on the inside of you. He wants to call it out. And then he could do something great through you. But he's got to get that root system right. Allow him to do it. Make room for Jesus. I love how the story of Peter, while Jesus on the earth, ends in John chapter 21. Peter goes back to fishing. He's just going back to the way he did things. Back to what he knew. Back to what he was familiar with. And they go out fishing. It's him and John in the boat. And they fish all night and they're coming back in. They didn't catch a thing. And they hear a voice from the shore yell out, throw your net on the other side. So they do. They catch 153 fish. Huge catch. But they didn't recognize the voice at first. And then John goes, I think that's Jesus. I think that's the voice of our Lord. And Peter gets so dadgum excited. This doesn't make sense to me in the Bible. He puts back on his jacket and jumps in the water and swims 100 yards to the shore to get to Jesus. He couldn't wait. This is the second time Peter gets out of the boat and gets into the water to chase Jesus. This is the second time after he denied him. He didn't allow the guilt of him denying Jesus. He didn't allow the sin and the shame to stand in the way from him continuing to pursue Jesus. And you know what's amazing? Is Jesus wanted to bless him even though he denied him. He gave him a catch after fishing all night. They had nothing. He filled their nets. But up to this point, he hasn't restored Peter yet. They're still in the place where Peter originally had denied him. And Peter went back to fishing. It doesn't matter what you've done. It doesn't matter where you are. I don't care how long you've known Jesus and what you've done. Jesus is sitting on the shores waiting to bless you. He's calling your name. He's telling you what to do. Because there's more he wants to do in you. There's more he wants to do in Guts Church in 27 and 28, 29 and 40 years from now. But we got to make room for ourselves to change. We got to make room for others to change. We got to make room for Jesus to do a work in us. He's calling. Are you following Jesus at a distance for any reason? Could just be because you're complacent. You're great just rolling in and rolling out. Man, I beg you, that's kind of where I've been, to be honest with you. Leading a ministry, get to travel around, get to preach here and there. And I finally got pissed off enough, and I'm ready for change. Sorry for my French, but that's where it got to. And it's like, we got another 20 or 30 years, our generation on the earth today, to get after it.
Thank you so much for listening to this podcast. If you'd like more information about the ministries of Guts Church, visit our website at gutschurch.com.